When we tell the old, old story we love to tell, we tell this one from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord made flesh and dwelt among us. Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. Well, the Christmas season and Christmas worship, candlelight time, is a good time for pondering the things that, well, that we've experienced throughout the course of the year, and the light of Christmas, the lights of the Advent wreath and the Christ candle, the bright lights in the room, the Christmas lights that decorate our homes. We need all of those lights to shine on the meaning and gravity of what we've experienced. We need the babe in Bethlehem. We need the Word become flesh among us to get us through the big things that we have been through this last year and that will surely come again. There isn't enough Christmas light to illuminate Bud's family this year. And we are all, in some sense, struggling to find the light of hope in what continues to be a struggle for our country, a struggle for our people, and certainly a struggle for the men and women who are there on our behalf. And we thank God for their work, and we ask God's protection on them. The big passages throughout the courses of our lives. We had our newest and oldest member this year were alive together for about 6 weeks. I thought that was great. Matthew was born in October and Johnny died toward the end of November. October, very, very short period of time. And I think there's some goodness and symmetry to that. And we use the light of Christmas to get us through these passages of great joy, great sorrow at the loss, and great joy in the memory of those we loved. A couple people in this room kicked cancer back pretty good this year. By golly, God saw them through that. The babe in Bethlehem, the Word became flesh, saw us through the big stuff, and many other things as well. And in addition to that, all the little things that have characterized our lives this past year are worth pondering for just a moment. And I'm not sure that all of those little things require the baby Jesus. It requires those who work with and who follow the baby Jesus. But it strikes me that there are also, well, maybe there are angels among us. I don't know. We have heard the song that perhaps that's true. And Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her quite a story, and we have Michael and all the other archangels and the multitude of the heavenly host in this story praising God at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But I think of other angel types. I think of Harold, who I'm sure every kid knows is the name of an angel singing Hark the Herald Angel and all of that. I knew there was an angel named Harold, but maybe there is. Who knows there isn't? I don't think he's part of the heavenly host. You know, if he's in the choir at all, I think he's probably back wherever it is that the heavenly host went from to go to Bethlehem. And Harold's taking care of the music. He's dealing with the library. He doesn't get to go sing. He has to tend to the details. He's at best a second stringer on the junior varsity of the angels team, at best. Which is not to say he doesn't have anything to do. He's one of these, well, I'm naming him, but unnamed minions of those that, if you pay attention just a little bit, you might just hear that word from the angel herald. Like when you get a Christmas tree and you bring it home and you unbox it and you put it up and, by gosh, there ought to be another half of this tree somewhere, but you know what? It fits right up against the wall. Just right. And you might just hear, hark, the angel herald made it work. Or when you're sitting next to a fire in a fireplace and you've got a nice beverage and a good friend and the warmth of the fire is doing what warm fires do to calm your spirits, and you notice the fire is just kind of dying out a little bit, and oh, I guess it's my turn to go stir it up a little bit. And about the time you're ready to stir it up, the log shifts a little bit and it drops and it flares up all by itself. Hark! The angel herald. You get on the telephone, you know, dialing customer service to somebody. To speak to an operator, well, you don't get to that until you've been at it for quite a while. Due to heavy call volume, you may be on the phone for the next 3 weeks. And you go, well, all right, I've got enough time for this. And about a minute later, a real person comes on the line. Hark! The angel herald. Or maybe you don't even know it, but you got room in your life for a cat. You don't even know you got room in your life for a cat, but you open up the garage door and out you go, and there's this cat just sitting there that you hadn't seen before. And you go, well, it's a cute cat. And it's not one of these that just runs away. It's one of these sort of nuzzle up against you, kind of look into your eyes kind of cat. And you go, well, I think I got some leftover hash in the fridge, and how can you not feed a cat just once, right? And you feed the cat and you go to work and you come back and cat's still sitting there. You didn't know you had room in your life for a cat, but by gosh, you got one now. Hark! The angel herald! It's the little stuff where the cumulative light of Christmas brings us micro dosages of hope so that when the big stuff hits, we've got a reserve. We've got a little bit of a reserve. Martin Luther is famous for saying many things. One of the more interesting is this, where he said, our only job on earth, you and I, is to be little Christs one unto another. And the genius of what he said is, you don't have to be the big one. The big one was born and grew up and said, peace be unto you and peace I leave with you and blessed are the peacemakers. And in a little while you will see me no more, and again a little while you will see me, and the big one will take care of the big stuff. But in the meantime, maybe Harold could use a little help. Of course, that's really all we're asked to do, is to be unto one another reflections of the light of Christmas. That's really all we're asked to do. Doesn't seem like a lot. Sometimes it isn't a lot. What it basically means is to be part of the process of random acts of kindness. Slightly more tolerance than we thought we were capable of in the interminable line at any store in town this time of year. Take a breath. It'll be all right. Be gentle. Be tolerant. or what the psychologist Albert Ellis used to remind us is good for depression even. It's like taking a dose of an antidepressant. Do somebody a mitzvah that is a small act of kindness that they will never know came from you and that they can't possibly repay. That's good medicine for you. Be a part of the second string junior varsity in the angel chorus. Pals of Harold. Random acts of kindness. Will it matter? Does it matter? Let me leave you with this thought. Often told story, maybe even by me, but we've read the Christmas story over and over again, so we'll say it again. Fellow walking along a beach after a particularly nasty storm and tide that's washed up literally hundreds of starfish, which when starfish are on the beach and not in the ocean, this is basically a death sentence. This is not a good place for starfish to be. And one person can certainly not cope with the carnage by himself or herself. But the story of this guy walking along and about every 10 steps picking one up and tossing it back in the surf, tossing it back every 10 or 15 steps, leaving, of course, many dozens untouched until he meets someone who says, you know, you can't possibly make any difference doing that. Harold kind of random acts of kindness, if you want to push the analogy. To which the guy says nothing but picks up another one and flips it into the ocean and says, made a difference to that one. That's all we're asked. The little light that you'll hold in your hand in about a minute, hearing again Silent Night, may it bring us enough peace, enough hope, enough grit and insight to make a difference, to make a difference to that one. And maybe you'll hear it in your own head. Hark! The angel herald. Merry Christmas.